There was a king who offered a prize to the artist who could paint the best picture of peace. There were many entries to the contest. The king looked at all of the pictures, but there were only two he really liked, and he knew that he would have to choose between them. One picture was of a beautiful, calm lake. This lake was a perfect mirror with peaceful, towering mountains all around it. Overhead was a blue sky with fluffy white clouds. All who saw this picture thought that it was a perfect picture of peace. The other picture had mountains too, but these were rugged and bare with foaming waterfalls tumbling down. And above was an angry sky filled with heavy rains and flashing lightning. This picture didn't look peaceful at all, but when the king looked, he saw behind the waterfall a tiny bush growing in a crack in the rock. And in the bush, a mother bird had built her nest. And there in the midst of the rush of angry water sat that mother bird on her nest. Perfect peace. So which picture do you think won the contest? The king chose the second picture, of course, explaining that peace does not mean being in a place where there is no turmoil or trouble or noise. It means being in the midst of all those things and still feeling the serenity that's always in your heart. That's the real meaning of peace. Stillness at the center of the storm. That beautiful story is credited to a lady named Catherine Marshall on the internet. Now, the king in this story found his art of peace, or as Paula corrected me, the artwork of peace. It was the picture that for him represented what peace is really all about, and that's individual inner peace. And the art of peace is kind of a metaphor for creating a lasting peace on the planet, because really creating a peace that lasts is truly an art. Now, the desire for a peaceful, nonviolent world is something I believe we all have in common. As human beings, it's a fundamental human need to feel safe, is it not? We all have that in common. And here's the good news. Given that we all hold this vision and this desire for a peaceful, nonviolent world, according to our law of mind action, world peace is not only possible, it's inevitable. We're going to talk about how that's going to come about right now. But it's not going to happen through truces and treaties and ceasefires. War is not really caused by our governments. And true world peace is not going to be achieved through our governments. You know, the ceasefire in Syria didn't work. We could have a political peace in the Middle East tomorrow, but as long as the Sunnis still hate the Shiites and the Palestinians still hate the Jews and vice versa, it's going to be what I refer to as a, let's remember this, okay, it's going to be what I refer to as a paint by numbers piece. Something that looks good but has no lasting value. Now, when you first saw that, you went, oh, the Mona Lisa. And then after a while, you looked at it and went, oh, that's not the Mona Lisa. $27 on Amazon. There it is. That's because it's really the hatred and judgment in the hearts of individuals. That's the real barrier to peace. Dr. King put it this way. He said, nonviolence means avoiding not only the external physical violence, but also the internal violence of the spirit. You not only refuse to shoot a man, you refuse to hate him. So refusing to hurt someone, that's a paint-by-numbers action. That'll create a paint-by-numbers peace. But refusing to hate, that's where we create a lasting peace. That's where we create a masterpiece together. And yes, $765 million was the latest estimate of the worth of that value. Some estimate its value at over $1 billion. So we're going to leave old Mona up there for a little while. There's a Chinese proverb that says, war does not determine who is right. War determines who's left. It's great, isn't it? Because as long as individuals are carrying hatred around in their heart, any war we have isn't going to fix anything. It's only going to determine who's left. So, we sing it every week. Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. What does that mean? To me, it means that when I look out at the world, I'm feeling helpless, I'm feeling frustrated, I'm feeling fearful, that I listen, I bring those words to mind, and I know that no matter how helpless I feel in the world, that there is one place where I can be effective. There's one place that I have control. There's one person I can change. There's one thing I can feel empowered to do, and that is to change myself. So those are very powerful words to live by. Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. And the way we get there is this. We're taught in unity that our consciousness It consists of millions, maybe billions, of thoughts, ideas, and experiences that we've had from the day we were born, all stored right up here. It makes up our consciousness, and that consciousness produces the effects in our lives. It's our law of mind action. All of that, beliefs, the thoughts, the impressions we've made, that is what we live by. That's what creates the world we see. Well, we have this individual consciousness, but according to Unity co-founder Charles Fillmore, there's also what he calls the race consciousness. And that's the billions of thoughts, ideas, and impressions that we've collected as a race. And it is in this beautiful, invisible form around the earth that's called, you've probably heard it called, the collective consciousness. It's this invisible field that surrounds the planet in which all available knowledge is accessible to us. Ernest Holmes of Science of Mind calls this mind. That's his name for God, this invisible collective consciousness. Animals are much more in tune to this collective consciousness than we are. That's how they know how to do stuff without being trained. They do a lot of things instinctively. And I have a great story about this and a great example. It's called the 100th monkey effect. How many of y'all have heard of the 100th monkey? Oh, good. Well, I'm going to go over it really quickly for those who haven't. A few decades ago, and this was in the 50s, 52 to 58 in that area, a few decades ago, scientists were studying the macaques, their monkeys, a breed of monkeys on the Japanese island of Kashima. There are several islands that have these monkeys, but Kashima is where they were studying them. And they discovered that many of the monkeys, they would put sweet potatoes on the beach, and they loved the sweet potatoes, but they didn't like the sand. They were covered with sand. So they would be really unpalatable to a lot of the monkeys. Well, one day, an 18-month-old female named Emo decides to take her sweet potatoes down to the stream and wash them off. Wow, eating them, these are great. Well, her offspring caught on, because they do everything mama says, and eventually it started catching on among the younger monkeys and then among the females. And within 4 or 5 years, every monkey on that island was washing their sweet potatoes before they ate them. It had caught on. So the 100th monkey is just a number. The exact number is not known, but they say, for example, one day you have 99 monkeys washing their sweet potatoes. The next day, the 100th monkey catches on, washes his sweet potato, and suddenly, on that same day, all the monkeys on the island began washing their sweet potatoes. And not only that, but monkeys on islands across the ocean on the other islands also began washing their sweet potatoes. That was an amazing discovery. The energy around this idea had reached a certain point to that where that 100th monkey added that extra vibration to that idea that gave it just enough push to tilt the balance and create a viral idea in the collective consciousness of the macaques. That's an amazing idea, because there's always a point, even with us, that if one more person tunes into a new awareness, that energetic field around that awareness can become just strong enough, and it's strengthened just to the point where that new idea suddenly becomes known to almost everyone. It's like it goes viral, the same way on the internet. As soon as, you know, a million people watch a video, suddenly it catches on and it goes viral. The same thing can happen with us, with thoughts. So the same way that the same way that those thoughts that we hold in our consciousness create the effects in our life, the thoughts that we're holding as a race consciousness, in the collective consciousness, create the effects we see in the world. And this is the answer to the age-old question: if God is all good and loves us, why is there so much pain and suffering in the world? Well, that pain and suffering that we perceive is the result of our collective consciousness. It's really no more than thoughts held in mind producing after their kind, except on a global scale. And in this very moment, each of us is a thought, an idea, or an impression in that collective consciousness. Every time we have an idea or emotion, every time we get excited or sad, every time we send out hatred or judgment, it emanates from us into the ethers and becomes part of that collective consciousness. So we're going to have a little fun with this idea, if you don't mind. We're going to think of the human race as one person. There he is. Hugh man. One guy. All right? Now, Each one of us is a thought or idea in Hugh's head, okay? We think of the race as a single person. Each of us is a thought or idea in his head. The earth itself could represent Hugh's body. You know, the atmosphere is his immune system, the rainforest his lungs, the rivers can be his bloodstream, whatever. I got your ice caps right here. The varieties of countries and cultures on the planet, that makes up Hugh's diverse personalities. So you think maybe of Africa as Hugh's soul, and Eastern India as his spirituality, and maybe America as his prosperity or abundance consciousness, and on and on. So with that in mind, and thinking about the world today, I'm going to ask the question, who is this guy? Who is Hugh? If we project the traits onto a single person, who would Hugh be? Would Hugh be a man or a woman? There's a lot of feminine energy in the world today. Could be. Hugh might be a man. How old is Hugh? Some scientists say that we're just in our adolescence as a race. Hugh might be a teenager. Is he someone you'd want to be friends with? What kind of meds is Hugh on? Antidepressants, probably Xanax. Looking at the global economy, would Hugh be having money problems right now? Maybe, maybe not. Considering the condition of Mother Earth's in, what would Hugh's body look like? Would he be fat or thin, bald? Maybe because of the ozone, he might be tanned, a little more tan than we want. Would Hugh be a Christian, a Muslim, a Jew, atheist? I think he'd be spiritual but not religious like us. Yeah. So thinking about that, the next question that follows would be, if Hugh was you, what would the world look like? All right, so we're going to take our consciousness and we're going to superimpose it onto Hugh's consciousness and see, in your mind, what would shift in the world. So the Middle East maybe represents Hugh's dual nature. So do you provide a place in your consciousness where your dual natures can exist peaceably? Would there be starvation in Africa? Would there be starvation in Africa? What if any fighting and judgment in your life manifested in fighting around the world? Resentments or unforgiveness that you're holding toward others that manifest as judgment and conflict on the planet. Whatever abundance or lack you're experiencing in your life, that would be reflected into the global economy. What if the earth were a reflection of your health consciousness? Would the ice caps still be melting? Would our rivers be clean? What would the world look like if Hugh were you? And the last question then, you know where I'm going with this, is what would you be willing to do for Hugh? Suppose that it's true. Assuming you could superimpose your consciousness, your thoughts, your experiences onto the collective consciousness, what would be the first thing you'd change? What would be the first thing you'd change about yourself? Supposing you knew that, gosh, if I meditate 2 hours a day, I could bring peace to the Middle East. Would you start doing it? What if you knew that as you became more kind and compassionate, began forgiving others in your life, that people around the world would start becoming more kind and more compassionate? Would you go and make the effort to heal those relationships in your life? Would you be willing to turn your tolerance into acceptance and love for Hugh? This is a really important question too, because guess what? On some level, that's exactly what's going on. On some level, that is exactly what goes on, and here's why. We learned from Myrtle Fillmore, Unity's other co-founder, the co and the co-founder, that one thought can change your entire consciousness. All right, she was dying of tuberculosis, and she heard, "I'm a child of God, therefore I do not inherit sickness." And she said, "Of course, God's not sick. I'm a child of God. I don't inherit sickness." And like a domino, it began falling in her consciousness. It changed the way she looked at God. It changed her relationship with her body and with herself. It changed her entire consciousness. Have you ever encountered one radical, rogue thought that just took hold in your mind until it changed who you are at a very basic level? See some heads shaking? For me, it was, there is only one presence and one power in my life and in all the universe, God the good, omnipotent. That's Unity's foundational truth statement. When I first heard that as a young Catholic man, it blew my mind. Only one presence and one power? That meant the devil on one shoulder and Jesus on the other, that were always fighting over my attention, they disappeared. It meant Jesus wasn't God. Jesus was the way shore, and I had a direct relationship with God. It changed everything. When I looked out and I saw a tsunami or an earthquake, I didn't go, how could God let this happen? Or I didn't think God was punishing us for that. All the events of the world, and it changed my relationship too. That one thought helped me to come into my power and realization as a perfect expression of God. I realized that I was a microcosm of the macrocosm. That one new thought. So in the same way that one thought can have a domino effect in your mind, we can transfer that to the race consciousness. One radical thought can have a domino effect in the collective consciousness. Think of Jesus as one thought, one loving, truth-based thought that changed the whole world, changed the way we all think and feel. Steve Jobs. There's no doubt that that was one thought in the race consciousness that changed the way we communicate and see each other all around the world. Osama bin Laden. He was a thought with a different intention, but there's no doubt that that one thought did change the way we relate and communicate. It was a worldwide shift in how we felt about each other and about the world. Did it not? And you, my friends, in fact, any one of you, can be that one thought. You can be that one thought that creates that domino effect. Gary Simmons says, you are the one. Be the one. Our Matrix fans, Neo was the one, right? Yay, there's him. And any one of us, or all of us, can be the one. Any one of us can be the 100th monkey. You can be the 100th monkey, the one that finally tilts the scale toward world peace. Mahatma Gandhi says, the pure love of one soul can offset the hatred of millions. Isn't that a powerful statement? Just think of all the hatred we can offset with just the pure love in the sanctuary this morning. I see a lot of it there. The pure love. The winning painting in the King's Contest was a masterpiece because it showed us that true, lasting peace comes from the individual and not from the circumstances around us. We're each a brushstroke in that masterpiece. So we're now halfway through the season for nonviolence. This is the 18th season for nonviolence, started by the Association for Global New Thought. It celebrates these three men, and it's a series of activities, daily activities, and processes, and festivals, and concerts that happen all over the country, all over the world, that are about promoting nonviolent change. So you can Google AGNT or SNV and find out more about that. We're also in the fourth Sunday of Lent. We heard from Reverend Paul a couple weeks ago how Lent and unity is about giving up negative or unproductive thinking, beliefs, or actions. So I invite you for the next 3 weeks that's left of Lent, if you haven't already chosen something to fast from, to maybe consider fasting from judgment, fast from resentment, unforgiveness, fast from hate, refuse to hate, refuse to be unforgiving, refuse to resent someone, and see how that starts feeling. Gandhi's most famous quote is, be the change you want to see in the world. Everybody knows that. When I say, be that one thought, be the one thought that changes the world. Be that one loving thought that offsets the hatred of millions. Be that 100th monkey that tilts the scale, that tilts the balance, and creates that cultural breakthrough. And know that the work you do to become a more peaceful, loving person does ripple out to the rest of the world. It does help tilt that balance toward world peace. And know that as a powerful, creative expression of the divine, you can and do make a difference. Everything you do makes a difference. So let's take a little breath and deep breath, breathe. We're going to step into a little sacred prayer time together, where I'd like to do a visualization where we're going to create our own artwork of peace. So as to prepare, just take a couple deep breaths. Release the cares of the day. Get comfortable in your seats. Bring your attention into this now moment. Close your eyes and allow to appear before you a beautiful blank canvas. For the king in our story, peace was symbolized by the mother bird. For you, a symbol of peace may be a handshake, might be a sleeping baby, a peace sign, a portrait of Jesus. What symbolizes peace for you? Whatever that symbol is, allow it now to appear on your blank canvas. Now we're going to add to your painting the face of a person who's not living that represents peace to you. This could be a historical figure, Jesus, Gandhi, King. It could be someone from your own past, maybe an uncle or a parent. Someone who's not physically on the planet that represents peace to you. And allow that face to appear on your blank canvas. And now we're going to place a picture of the face of someone living that represents peace to you. Someone that you can touch, feel, someone that you see, someone whose vibration is right here, right with us. This could also be a family member. This could even be yourself. Maybe it's someone who's you've seen maintain peace through tough times. It could be the Dalai Lama. And allow that face to also appear with your symbol of peace and the face of the person not living onto this beautiful canvas that we're creating. And lastly, we want to add to this canvas picture of someone or something or a symbol of someone or something that you need to heal. Bring to mind something in your life you feel you need to heal. Anything. It could be barking dogs, your neighbor's dogs. It could be a freeloading relative or somebody you're holding unforgiveness for, someone you've had a fight with, someone you've been resentful of. Anything that gives you negative charge. Whatever that is right now, it could be a religious symbol. Bring that to mind, place it on your canvas. And as we go into the silence for a few moments, I want you to take a look at this canvas that you've created and allow those peaceful symbols to heal that last thing until it slowly disappears and eventually is gone from your canvas. And know that at any time, you can return to this place and add symbols to this beautiful painting of yours. But now just sit back and take it all in just for a few moments. Take a breath, come back to this room, give thanks for those that you've placed on your art of peace, give thanks for the healing that took place in the silence, give thanks for the sacred brothers and sisters around you right now that are supporting you on this journey, and always remember that the work you do on yourself is never in vain. It's one giant step toward world peace. We'll bring our attention back into this room and open your eyes.